Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Welcome to Going Deeper. This is a continuing conversation about the deeper things of God. And I am Joe, one of your hosts. I'm joined by Scott, the other host. And we are here today on this podcast to continue our conversation about this idea of rhythms of release.
That's right.
As we step into 2020, it's the start of 2020 as we record this episode. And we have been kind of exploring this vision that we feel like the Lord's laid on our heart as a family here at River Life in Brisbane, Australia, to be people who are released, that we're released to worship and pray with passion and intimacy with God, and we're released to reach the people around us with that same love of Jesus. And so we're taking some time to unpack that, to talk about it. Last week, Scott and I, we just talked, just the two of us had a convo all about what it means to come in to the presence of God, to come in and be with him and to kind of receive from him and bless his name. Today we have a great opportunity, right?
We do. We have a couple of guests.
Yeah.
We have Pastor Nick Riddell and then Pastor Eric Whitley, Pastor of Worship and then Pastor of Prayer. They're going to be in chatting about, yeah, this whole rhythm of coming in and what it looks like for us in 2020 and then moving forward, and very specifically different tips and opportunities that we have upcoming. So it's a really good episode, especially.
Yeah, I think it's going to be actually really helpful. As we chatted to them, they gave us some practical tips, but also like this is where I get really interested in what it looks like to live the Christian life well, because we talk about getting super practical, but so much of the practical things are actually inside work where we have to shift attitudes and beliefs and lies. And so it's weird because I think we go to Bunnings, but practical in the Christian life can be, I need to actually just stop and think through some things right now, and I need to pray. Do some business with God. And so they talk a lot about that inner work, but in a really practical way. So I think you're really going to be encouraged and blessed. And as you listen, I think, you should be asking the Lord, how can this challenge and encourage me to pursue a life of prayer and worship as well? So let's take a listen to Rhythms of Release, Episode 2, coming in with Eric Whitley and Nick Riddell.
Well, thanks for coming in, Nick and Eric. I'm really excited about this episode. We're going to talk about coming in. And firstly, though, I want to ask, how long have you guys been on staff here? You guys are pastors. You've actually both previously been on this podcast itself. But Eric, you've been here longer than Nick. How long have you been here?
13 years.
13 years. Yeah. Wow. And Nick?
I started in 2012, so that's coming like on 8 years or so.
Yeah. 8 years. Amazing. And have you guys seen the church move? Have you seen the church change from over those 8 and 13 years, you know, the last decade? What have things been and how are we moving now?
Well, I mean, the whole time I've been a part of the staff, the church has been in transition. You know, it's only been these last couple of years where we've gotten into the new facility and started to move from that point, but even from the time when I came on in 2007, we were already looking ahead to the future. We were looking for land to buy, and that had been purchased, but looking, you know, to move and to build a building, and through that whole process. And that's also about the same time that we started to investigate engaging with Holy Spirit more. And so culturally, there was a shift happening as we were also shifting logistically as a church.
Yeah, it was like Spirit Fire, wasn't it? Was that 2007?
2008.
Okay. Yeah. And then onwards, various conferences. What about you, Nick? Have you seen things change and shift?
Yeah, well, I started coming around 2008. So Spirit Fire happened not long after I was here, which was really awesome to experience. And as Eric said, just to kind of see a whole new perspective on things and understand that this God wants to meet with us. And that changes everything. That changes your whole approach every day. When you understand that God is personal, that he's, you know, a living reality to be experienced, And so I've seen us. I reckon we've changed rapidly. I reckon over in a short amount of time, I think he's had us on a fast track trajectory. And so it's been pretty amazing to see us move over here and just to see what we're experiencing. We're obviously still learning every week we gather. But that there's beauty in that too, because we're relying on him, we're leaning on him. We're not just doing autopilot. It's encouraging just to see new faces every week and experiencing us in this facility and in this environment. And I'm just pumped for year ahead.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the only consistent thing we've had in the last decade has been change.
Absolutely. I
suspect that might be something we just need to get used to. So we've been talking in this series. Last week we kicked it off talking about this coming in and going out as rhythms of being released. Because our vision for this year, as Pastor John's been talking about, is that we are released, and you know the different ways we're released. We're released to connect with God, to be empowered and encounter Him and His presence, and also released to go out. You guys are kind of, your jobs here are the coming in guys. So you're the worship and the prayer pastors, and so that's kind of in your space. What is it about the coming in part of being released, released to be with Him, that really kind of stirs you up and kind of, you know, you got, your job is to run Nick, the worship team, and all of our expressions of worship, and Eric, yours is to facilitate and lead all of our prayer ministry and prayer activities. But that can be a job. What is it that actually kind of stirs up your passion and excitement for Jesus when we talk about this coming in aspect?
I think for me, it's the fact that we're placing value on the environment that we gather in, of this whole idea of coming in as a people, as God's church, as His bride, as His beloved, and each one of us playing a partner role in that. And so I'm incredibly excited that as part of this coming in, it puts an emphasis again, really, on that space of worship and prayer. And, you know, I was talking to someone the other day and saying, when I grew up, you know, I definitely was instilled with the value of the Word of God, but not necessarily beholding the Word or you know, experiencing the Word or expressing, you know, like the vulnerably who I am to the Word, to Jesus Himself. And so I think that for me, just this whole emphasis around that when we come in, that time matters, that's valuable. Mm. That is an equal opportunity to engage with God, to worship Him, bless Him, adore Him, and that in that it's not just a repetitive activity that we decided was a good idea, but even throughout Scripture, you know, Old Testament and New Testament, we see this rhythm, as you said, of the people of God coming, drawing near to God, and that being meaningful, that being a worthwhile time for them, where they do receive something. In you know, we come to bless Him, we come to worship Him and praise Him, but in just this beautiful way, we then receive something from Him. We're transformed by Him just by being focused on Him. It's cool. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, and for you, Eric, I was just thinking about this in the last kind of little while. You know, for the better part of 2,000 years, prayer has been the mainstay of the church's activity and focal point. You know, we're known as a people of prayer. Jesus said, my house is to be a house of prayer for all the nations. Yet kind of given the culture of today, we don't have, you know, a Christian prayer industry. We have a Christian worship industry. You know,
that's right.
Prayer kind of has become, to a lot of people's perception, the poorer brother of the worship ministry, because worship's big and loud and I can get it on Spotify. It's really hard to kind of do prayer via subscription pay, you know. What is the draw and what is the kind of the power in that prayer space that actually makes you go, like, this is actually something significant for us?
Well, I think when we look at prayer, it's this funny thing. I'm always amazed that I can sit in a room with someone and say some words and see them physically healed, see trauma, like drastic traumas of their past be healed because we say some words. And it's not our words so much as it is we're interacting and we're talking with a God who has that power, who has that authority, who loves us so deeply. I think the danger with prayer is because it's such a common thing. You know, we're talking about prayer and simplistic, you know, we might pray with our kids before they go to bed at night, or we might pray to bless our dinner before we eat. And so there's these really casual ways of entering into prayer, but those are just so superficial compared to the power and the impact that prayer can have in the world, in our lives, in somebody else's life. And I guess my passion is that prayer doesn't just become this thing that we all know we should do and we probably need to do, but becomes this thing that if I'm not praying, if I'm not communicating, and you know, prayer is not just me speaking to God, it's Him speaking to me. It's a conversation. It's two-way. If I'm not living a lifestyle of prayer where I'm interacting with God, then my life is so much less.
Mm. Question for both of you then. What's the relationship between worship and prayer? You know, we've specifically brought you both in for this podcast because you guys sum up this idea of prayer and worship really well. This is a core value as we come in, both in the corporate sense on Sundays and then individually, you know, on our family table at home or, you know, through prayer in the car or something. We come in through prayer and worship. And yeah, so what's this relationship with prayer and worship? And do they interact? Do they interlock or are they separate things altogether?
Yeah. For me, like we call it worship, you know, because for definition's sake, that's what we say when like we gather together. We're coming into
important.
Worship
we
and
need,
language and that kind of thing. But I know for me, there's so much of this, like a dance between prayer and praise and prayer and worship in that space. So, you know, like the moment that we might play the first chord, it's like it's this posture of, you know, like Eric said, a conversation. It's opening yourself up to the fact that Jesus is here in the room with me by his spirit. And that's an incredible thing that I don't take for granted. And so from that get-go, I'm not just singing along to karaoke on a screen. I'm not
that's
just
right.
following the words that someone else has written. I'm engaging with God. I'm using this opportunity, this time that I get this week to be in that beautiful space where the people of God gather together. And so, you know, we're singing about something and there might be a theme. And then in the midst of that, I might just completely jump out of singing that song and be into praying for where that's relevant,
sure,
you know, in
sure.
that space of prayer and worship. So for me, I see it that having that posture to interact and commune and engage with God is really the key. And that in that way, whether you know a song or not, whether you like it loud or you like it soft, you're literally like, this is my opportunity and my moment to connect and commune with the living God.
Yep.
And so I'm going to pray, I'm going to praise, I'm going to worship, I'm going to, you know, quiet myself or I'm going to make a joyful noise, like whatever that would be. So for me, I see the two as being so closely linked.
Great.
I don't know if that's
Great.
The same for you, Eric.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they're very interwoven because at their core, we're doing the same thing. We're engaging, communicating, mm-hmm. relating
Great.
To God.
Because it's not just, like you said, karaoke. It's not just words on a screen, but communicating with someone.
I think they're very intermeshed. I think they are different forms of that relating to God.
Sure.
Yeah. Are different tools to do that.
Yep.
But I think at their core, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just they look a little bit different.
And I guess that's why we've put them together. This is one of the core values for us as a church, that we would authentically come and worship God and would do that through prayer with each other, but also as individuals.
I think they almost springboard off of each other, like Nick was saying.
Cool.
Sometimes you're in the middle of worshiping God and adoring Him, and then He starts to speak to you or you start to speak to Him. And you know, like I was sharing with Joe the other day, we were singing a worship song and it had a particular line in it that really struck my heart. And so I stopped worshiping and actually had to repent of something because I went, oh, actually, God, I've been relating to you in a different way than I should. And
Great.
So I went from worshiping to praying and then back to worshiping.
Wow.
And
awesome.
We see that with David, too. Like when you read his Psalms, sometimes it seems like he's kind of starting out praying and going this and this and this. And then it ends with him worshiping God in some way. I don't know if he even broke into song while he was writing that or what, you know, or if the melody, a lot of the Psalms, you know, ended up becoming praise songs that he played.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if the melody came to him as he was writing it and praying, you know, who knows.
Cool,
but
cool.
I do think that they sort of feed off of each other.
It's kind of, I was just, as you've been talking, thinking of it, it's almost like being at, like, you can be in a concert and you can be at the back and still be in the room and see what's going on and be totally connected into what's going on. But then when you go backstage and sit with the artist, it's a whole different level of relating and intimacy, and you respond differently. It's still the same person and the same thing, but it sounds like Isaiah in the back of the throne room kind of going, well, the Lord, his train enters, you know, his train of his robe enters the temple. Well, and then all of a sudden the angel's up close and personal and he's got this sense of repentance. It's all still worship. It's all still connecting and being aware of God, but there's that levels of intimacy that we kind of step in and out of almost as we're kind of considering him.
Yeah, and I think it's different. I've certainly noticed the culture shifting because, as I said, I had a bit of experience of church growing up when I was younger, before I actually was born again myself at the age of 18. But growing up very much in an environment where it was like you put your different hat on, you know, like I'm coming into you know, praise, to sing, so I'm going to put that hat on, and then prayer will look like this, and so we're going to, you know, all close our eyes, bow our heads and do it, you know, in unison. And I think that still for a lot of people, you know, that can be a barrier to when they come and they walk into church and they come in with everyone and they're looking around and it's like, okay, we're in the singing time now, so I'm going to do my best to try and sing along. And and that sometimes that can even be a barrier for you, because if you don't know this song, or if it's out of your key or it's out of your range, then you can be like, oh, I'm not here and I'm not experiencing God. Yeah. And I just think for me it was a real change in going, if I come in prayerfully and if I come in with that posture of wanting to meet with him and of wanting to have this time with him, you know, I don't need to just segregate to the singing. I don't need to segregate to a time of praying, because it just starts to become part of the way that we engage with God. And we can translate that no matter where we are. When we're in our car and we're listening, you know, we're at the traffic light, we might be singing along. And then, as Eric said, something's prompted to us and we're just starting to pray for our family or pray for something. And so I know I have a real heart to see our people just every time they come in, just saying, you know, I'm coming in with this attitude of, God, I want to commune with you. I want to engage with you. And
We're on one of our other podcasts we do on our Bible streams, we've just been going through the minor prophets, and we recently did Zechariah.
Great plug. Thank you.
Yeah, like that cross promote. just that idea that when we come with that heart attitude to God, everything is holy to the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, and because Heidi Baker is a friend of our house, and she's the one who's kind of coined that phrase for me. It says, you know, when we stop and we worship the Lord, when we pray, when we actually just serve one another, that's holy unto the Lord. It's these moments of worship and reverence and awareness of him. And yeah, I think it's helpful to start to shift that, because we can kind of try and compartmentalize it down into that's this activity, that's that activity, when really it's all of life. As we get to the next few weeks ahead of us and we look at the going out, we realize that our missional life is 24/7. Like every time we connect with anyone, it's not just overseas, it's not just my unsaved friends, it's actually anywhere, anytime with anyone. Coming in is kind of the same. It's anywhere, anytime, but just with the one.
See, I just want to change the perception, and I guess the word might be the utilitarianism of prayer and worship, like that we're seeing it as this thing that we do at a certain time, and as you guys are saying, compartmentalized in a way, to becoming this lifestyle. I mean, those are the ways that we communicate with God. It's so relational, and my heart is just to see it more than this is something I do, to this is part of who I am. Just like in a marriage, you know, if I don't talk to my wife, there are times I have to talk to her about, you know, when is soccer practice over and what I need to pick up at the store. There's these, you know, practical things, but you know, there are other times that we want to sit and we share our hearts and we share that. And I want to see prayer and worship become viewed more that way, instead of I need to pray because I'm about to eat a meal, so I need to bless it because that's the right thing to do. Or you hear what I'm saying.
So cool. So what are you guys passionate about, and what are some opportunities for the River Life community or anyone who's listening around the world? What are some opportunities for them to then start this prayer and worship kind of routine and rhythm that could overtake their life and become such a lifestyle? And also, what are you guys excited about, like, for this year ahead?
For me, I think this year just has an immense opportunity with prayer. To answer one of your questions, I think to start with, we have to change our paradigm about what prayer and worship is about and how it works and how we interact with God. And I feel like if we start to see it as this relational thing that's ongoing, you know, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You know, now obviously we can't sit with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, which the Bible actually tells us to pray that way. but, you know, we can't do that 24/7, but it's supposed to, the implication of that, I think, is that we're always supposed to be communicating back and forth. Going back to my marriage metaphor, you know, throughout the day, I'll get a phone call or we'll text, or I'm in constant communication with my wife and with my family, and even like in a work office, you know, I'm not just in my cubicle by myself. I'm interacting. There's collaboration. There's times I need to ask a question. There's times I need to communicate something, and it's ongoing. If we start to see God in that way through prayer, that we can stop, we can pray. He can hear, you know, we don't have to speak out loud. God can hear our thoughts, and we can pray even sitting in a business meeting. We can pray driving down the street. We can pray wherever we're at.
So like prayer is kind of like, actually, could we say it's like a synonym for abiding? So yeah. Just being with, like,
yeah.
But there's an intentionality of it. Like, it's not just passive. It's actually, yeah. When he says abide with me, it's like, this is what prayer unceasing looks like. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like many times we pray prayers like, come Holy Spirit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that statement, but I tend to phrase it a different way. I always go, God, make me aware of your presence, because I know he's with me. I'm just not always aware of it.
Yeah.
And so I flip it on its head. Instead of saying come, it's the same idea,
but it's
for me to be intentional to go, actually, I know you're with me. I know you're speaking. All right. You know, it's almost like I have to say to myself, become aware.
Yeah.
Make me aware. Help me to recognize what are you saying? What are you doing in this moment?
Very cool.
So what are some of the things kind of on your heart that we're going to start to do? It will help us do that this year.
Well, one of the big ones that I'm excited about is we're developing a prayer and praise journal. And look, in and of itself, I mean, you can go to any bookstore or any Christian bookstore and buy one of these, and there's some great ones online. But we've developed one for our church, for our family, our community.
So cool.
Here.
Yep.
And that'll be rolling out shortly. But it becomes, look, it's a tool. This is not going to... You know, by using this, does it mean you ultimately, you just all of a sudden level up
in your prayer?
Yeah, you know, yeah. There's no level up for that, but it becomes this tool that will hopefully help us to be more intentional.
Yeah.
To go, actually, I want to take the time to sit down and do this, and so that it'll be designed in a way that helps us to think things through and to maybe express ourselves to God and then listen well to Him and be able to start to cultivate that ability. As I say, you know, prayer is two ways of speaking, but also listening.
Great.
Yeah.
So cool.
That's awesome. What about for you, Nick?
I'm excited about, you know, one of our goals this year being that we help people learn how to lead themselves in worship. And that kind of sounds like a simplistic phrase.
We'll have to learn guitar now.
and sounds like, well, you know, isn't that something that we should know how to do? But again, I think typically some of the models that have existed prior to today have been that it's, you know, up to a worship leader or it's up to an environment to kind of hype me up a little or get me in the right zone where I can now worship, you know, that a lot of elements and conditions have to be correct. And the Lord's been speaking to me about this for quite some time. He used a marriage example as well, Eric, of just, you know, so in order to love your wife, do you need to have, you know, the air conditioning is just at the right temperature and there's a roast in the oven and, you know, my clothes are all ironed and the house is clean and tidy and my favorite show is waiting, you know, on TV and now I can come and, you know, and love you. And I felt like that sometimes we approach worship this way, you know, when it's just not about us at all. Wow. It's just not. And leading us, being able to lead ourselves, no matter what's going on, no matter where we are, that ultimately our heart is able to engage God and we're able to come towards Him, draw near to Him wherever we are. So I'm excited about that. I think because, again, typically in worship ministry, like we focus a lot on the band, we focus a lot on the team and on the service and what's put into that and the elements. And whilst they're all important, ultimately, in my opinion, what's most important is the room, is the believers who are gathered. Yeah, if you have 100 people in a room who don't really want to be there, you can have the most amazing creative production and people might walk away and say, oh, I was really blessed by that. Thank you. But you can have 20 people in a room who are we just want to come to love the Lord and worship Him. I'm just excited about the power of unity. And if every person in our congregation and who's part of this family says, yes to this and to leading themselves. Psalm 133 talks about the blessing that comes from unity. When we dwell together in unity, that it says it's like, you know, the sweet oil that runs down the beard of Aaron right to the edge of his garment. And so, you know, from the top all the way out to the farthest reaches of our church and what people engage with, I feel like that's the power of unity, the anointing that's going to come from unity. And it says that there the Lord commands a blessing. And so I've actually never seen a room here in Australia 100% fully engaged in worship. I saw it in Brazil a couple of years ago when I went over there, and it was the most amazing thing to be a part of and to just join in with. I didn't even know the words. It was in a different language. but just knowing that in that entire room, everybody was wholeheartedly there to come and love the Lord. Wow. And the God activity or the fruit of what I experienced at the end of that, where people kind of just gave testimony following the service, and there were people who received healing, there were people who received freedom and deliverance, purely just because of the fact that they hosted the presence of the Lord. They worshipped him with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it was something that really has marked me and has been sort of like a bit of a reset on the standard of, brothers and sisters, when we come together and we're here to worship the Lord of our lives, the one that we've given everything to, that looks like something that pulls us all into that. And in our way, we all engage with him.
So cool.
That's awesome. Man.
So when you say room, you know, when you're talking about the room, you really are talking about each individual's heart, sort of posture and attitude, but being unified with everyone else coming into that place, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to the beautiful auditorium that we have.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter where it is.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, so just as we start to wrap up now, I'll throw this to you first, Nick. So, Eric, you got a moment to think. What's one really practical tip or bit of advice you could give to someone listening to, for you, help them start learn to lead themselves in worship? What's one thing they could do?
I think doing it outside of the church setting is a real key. So at home, you know, whether that's practicing at home, but, you know, in your life group, wherever it might be. So just getting comfortable with, you know, doing it where you don't have the lights and the, you know, music and the songs that maybe you're familiar with and that sort of stuff, just pulling you into that space. But just really, yeah, testing yourself. And, you know, then as well, when we gather together, there are times where we, as a team, we deliberately do it. We intentionally want to leave space in a song where it might just be few chords that are rolling over and over again, and typically people are a bit awkward and are like, what do I do? I don't know what's happened. Where did those words go? What happens? But really, we're just trying to present an opportunity for us to draw on an offering that is, you know, deep within us, that I believe all of us love the Lord. And you know, when we pray and we have our times of praying, and we draw on that and we speak out of that and we thank him and we bless him and we love him, and it's really giving us a space for, again, everyone to do that in their own way, whether that's thanking him, whether that's saying hallelujah, whether that's singing a melody that kind of is a reflection of how they feel about God or whatever it might be. And so in those spaces, just to know that it's not about how you sound, it's not about X Factor, it's not about your voice. Yeah. It's
Praise God.
It's really just the overflow of what's inside of you. And, you know, we have these amazing songs that people have written, but I like to say that in these times where those words go off the screen and we go off the script a little, it's like, you know, we've been using someone else's Hallmark card all morning, and that card has been worthwhile to still communicate and convey a message, but we're now drawing on our own words and on our own writing, and we're writing a blank card to the Lord, and what's really inside of us is kind pouring out. So I just encourage people just to give it a go, step into that place, and the more you do it, the more you become comfortable and familiar, and the more you actually do engage in worship in a whole new way.
That's awesome. Oh, there's lots to start with there. That's awesome. Eric, for you, and kind of creating an awareness of prayer as conversation, that unceasing prayer, what would be some advice you could give to people listening now?
Well, look, I think if you wanted to kind of fast track it, we talked about fasting, you know, recently.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
I think taking up that spiritual discipline of fasting, even if you're just fasting for a day or you fast for one meal, and just in that time go, I'm going to set that aside for God, I think you'll start to see that interaction grow. And it becomes something that you hunger for more. So, I mean, that would be a place I would suggest. It's just if you've never fasted and prayed, take a day and do it.
Great.
Take a week and do it. Whatever, 3 days. Start somewhere. I think that would so be cool. a great way to start to just become aware of him more regularly. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Awesome. I feel like there's just an opportunity here at the end. We're just going to wrap up. But what do you guys see if we get this right? If we get this right as River Life and we come in and we embrace his presence through prayer and worship, where are we going to end up? Like, what do you see in 5 years, 10 years time?
I just get so encouraged when I read the story of the tabernacle of David and when I look at a people that were under the old covenant and that didn't quite, you know, they didn't have Jesus yet, but we do have him. And so our access, I guess, to what's possible in terms of the kingdom of heaven and in terms of our faith and all that is just so much greater. But I look at this people that for 33 years they gave themselves to 24/7 prayer and worship. There was 4,288 singers and musicians on rotation to, you know, purely to worship God. It would have cost them in today's wages $30 million a month.
What?
to run
wow.
all around just praying and worshiping in the heart of wow. of the people of Israel. And for those 33 years, Israel's not invaded. For those 33 years, the nation starts to prosper. And you look at the leadership differences of previous kings and what David, a man after God's own heart, brought in. And he just brought in prayer and worship. He brought it into the right into the city, and he made a way for everybody to engage with it. And people understanding the value of what they're doing, that this is not just something that a creative bunch of people get together and play music, and because the topic is Christianity, we call it worship, mm-hmm. or because, you know, we're like, we're Christians and this is how we express who we are in this way, but that it's just that this environment that God, you know, he gave David the blueprints for it. He said, build me a house that looks like this. Mm. And you know, he said the same to Solomon and that kind of thing. And so he sets this up as this beautiful space that we get to enjoy freely every Sunday here, that we're going to spend so many hours in this whole year together. And I just get excited of what's possible in the rhythm of that, of coming in and being present with God and going, wow, the God of the universe is in this place. Where's the lid? Wow. Anything is possible. Mm-hmm. Let's utilize it. Let's go. Come on. Like, why are we waiting? We've got everything here at our fingertips.
That's right. Lifting the lid off. And you even mentioned this. You mentioned this a couple of weeks ago at one of our Vision Sunday Q&A panels. You were saying that you had this experience when you came in, you were praying with the other senior leaders and something happened. What happened there? Because you came in and then it looks like something happened in your heart for going out as well.
Yeah, so as we were just praying around the dinner table and just again that posture that Eric and I have been talking about all day today on the podcast and it was in that place drawing near to God that I was incredibly surprised by what happened and it was very, very challenging. But I guess when you draw near to God's heart, you know, in that way, like he sometimes gives it to you. And so for me, it was a whole new glimpse of his heart, just in the going out, the seeing the lost, seeing the broken, seeing those in nations all around the world, crying out, won't you come, won't you come, and being hit with the conviction and reality of that we can't just stay, you know, in this place, enjoying all the benefits that we receive, and that this faith, it was never ever just for us. It was never meant to be just a personal philosophy or worldview to live by, but that you know, his heart is for us to go out. And so just being in a moment of prayer and worship and turning our attention to the Lord and him really saying, hey, I'm gonna grip you with something more than just words on a paper. I'm gonna grip you with an experience and show you my heart for those that don't yet know me. And so you can't hold back. Won't you come? Like, I know it's gonna take courage because you're afraid, and I know that you feel like you're ill-equipped, but you know, I can't deny the reality of what he has shown me, and I know what he's shown us as a church, and so it's time for us to respond in way. But yeah,
come on,
so good.
Mm. Wow,
Eric, for you just to land us now, what's on your heart? What does it look like when we grasp a hold of this prayer and worship as not just an activity, but as part of our DNA?
Well, you know, I have to almost echo Nick's words. I mean,
that's funny. That's very funny because it's almost like they're interwoven and interlocked.
You passed the test. Well done.
Thanks. All right. All right. But yeah, I don't think, like, I'm almost hesitant to say it would look like this because I feel like,
great.
You know, the Bible says that he can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So I'm almost afraid.
It's pretty wild, right?
Yeah, I'm afraid to almost go, I think it looks like this. I mean, I have some desires and dreams that it'll look a certain way, but I don't want to almost, not that I would limit God, but I don't want to limit that by saying it looks like this. I think when we go into that place, it's just so powerful. There is no limitations. Yeah. There is nothing
cool.
that's insurmountable. And mm-hmm. so that's why I think we take this so seriously and we press it so much and we talk about it so much. It's so valuable. That's what I'm saying. My heart is to see us move from prayer being just something that we know we're supposed to do and we dutifully do it at certain times because we're Christians to, like, it needs to be like air. Like, if I'm not doing this, I can't survive. You know, like, there's a desperation. There's just a passion, you know, not in a negative way, but just I need this. Mm. I need to be with God. I need to hear his voice. I need to know that he hears me, you know, and that I'm being heard and my needs are being met. And it's just, we've got to shift into that place where it's not something we do, it's who we are.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, so good. Man, I'm very encouraged. I hope you listening are very encouraged. Nick and Eric, thanks so much for coming in today and sharing your heart.
Always a pleasure.
Pastor Nick and Eric. Man, so cool.
Oh,
so
wow.
Cool. Man, I love just that picture at the end of what's possible. You know, Eric saying, you know, that unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Like,
sometimes
wow.
I want to just like actually start to just go wild in my imagination and tell people because I feel like once I say it, he's going to do better.
He's going to do it more. That's right.
But you don't want to kind of collapse down the options into just
him,
my perception and preferences.
Because I heard what he was saying. He was saying that I don't want to box him in.
Yeah.
I don't want to box God into what is possible. But yeah, I just feel like there's still so many opportunities. There's so many things happening.
Yeah, so good.
I love the practicals as well of just, you know, starting your own leading of worship, you know.
Yeah,
start by yourself in your car or in your bedroom or in your family lounge room. Just start by leading yourself in worship.
Yeah, and it's cool. Nick, you know, we shared that story about that vision he had. I know because we've been journeying together for a whole bunch of years, 8 years he's been on staff. I've been on staff with him the whole time and with Eric as well. And I know he lives this out and he leads himself in worship all the time. And so he has this pretty radical encounter while I'm sitting beside him at a dinner table and God just starts to speak to him. But it's the overflow of those times where he's just chosen to lead himself in worship. And so it's not, he's an amazing guy and he's gifted and the Lord's kind of really anointed him to lead worship in this place. But it's not because he's any more special than anyone else.
True.
It's because he spent the time investing in actually pressing into the Lord in his own space of worship. And God just says, well, you're faithful and I can trust you with this. And so you start to show him his heart. So, yeah, so exciting.
So cool. And I love the very practical outworking of this. We have every single fortnight of the year, we have worship rooms. And this is a perfect spot to do this, prayer and worship. Yep. It's quite a relaxed environment, 3 hours nonstop worship and prayer. And this is an opportunity for you to come. It's in the chapel.
Yes, if you're in Brisbane.
That's right. Every first and third week of the month. And so come along, check it out. Obviously Sunday services, obviously in your life group, you know, spend time in prayer for each other and worshiping God. And there's so many different opportunities.
If you're not in Brisbane and you can't get to us, you know, there's all sorts of resources online. Places like the International House of Prayer stream prayer and worship 24/7.
True,
you can jump on that. So maybe you're listening somewhere that you don't have access to that kind of space. But the cool thing about how God has equipped and resourced the church is that these things are becoming available. You can get online, you can get on YouTube, you can get to streaming sites and just have access to God and to his people and to that place of coming in 24/7. You don't have to learn to do it on your own, but you can use these resources to practice doing it on your own.
So cool. Well, thanks so much for listening to this episode. Feel free to subscribe and share and comment if you have anything to say. Of course, you can always email in at church@riverlifechurch.org.au as well if you'd like some more information or for how to get involved in the life of our church. Thanks so much for listening. We're going to be back next week with the third part of this series, and I'm quite excited. I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.